think, you know, it's the, there's the line where he's all, I'm on fire. Hey, that's what Richard Pryor say. And the way he says it makes him sound like he is so proud of that line. And, you know, that's me reading into it, I guess. I just don't think it's that great of a line. Like, oh, yeah, because he caught on fire that one time. Right.
Yeah.
Like, cool ancient ass reference to Richard Pryor getting, like, setting himself on fire while freebasing. That's how you know it happened a long time ago. He was freebasing. So I don't, it's, everything else with Kanye West, no problem. Model citizen. But that one thing, no. And I've been thinking about that all morning. I mean, I've thought about it a lot more than just this morning, but this morning it kind of... kind of came back, you know? Oh. I don't think I'm going to get sick, but I'm feeling like some very light sinus pressure in my, like, cheeks. You know, that area kind of below your eyes. Just around there, a little sore. And I don't know. Last night, my throat felt a little weird. But I figure it's probably just allergies. It's been allergy season out here. And ever since getting back from Boston, it's been a little weird. My wife has had a cold as well, so I thought maybe I would catch that. We've been pretty lucky so far living together in that we have not gotten each other sick. Like, if she catches a cold, I have not gotten it, and vice versa. Which is pretty cool, because if we were both sick, that would be bad. I've got a towel stuffed into this side pocket on the driver's side door of this car to muffle the rattling of my garage door opener and my fast track pass, my bridge toll taking device. I don't know what they call it in your state. They probably just call it fast track. Is that just what they call it everywhere? I don't know. And of course, going to PAX, you know, one starts to naturally think about getting back from PAX and immediately getting sick. But that hasn't happened to me the past couple of times, I think, that I've gone. So, I mean, I guess that's a knock on wood type situation. But, There's no wood in this car. No wood grain. Should have bought a fancier car. That wood grain. All right. I'm gonna knock on this analog clock in the dashboard of this thing, because that might as well be wood. But yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm incubating something nasty and I'll get sick tomorrow or the day after or the day after. But it seems okay so far. I feel like you just kind of got to take that shit as it comes. You know, you can protect yourself, you can try to take preventative steps to avoid getting sick, but sometimes you're just gonna fucking get sick. Driving a car for 17 hours from Florida to PA after the fest always brings the sickness on as well. Is the fest some kind of secondary Juggalo-related ritual? Something referred to as simply the fest. Just may, I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm seeing a lot of clown paint. Maybe it's something about Florida and PA. Punk festival, yeah. Florida Punk Festival, of course. A dude I know got his band back together this year and is back out on the Warped Tour. I think that's what I saw on Facebook, that they were going out on that tour this year, which they, I think they played it years ago. It's, I guess, I don't know. Yeah, Warped Tour, still somehow a thing. And I never went. Gas for this drive. I didn't check. I do. All right. We're good. Weather's getting pretty nice around here. It's warming up. Clear skies. Blue skies, barfy burgers, girls. You know, the stuff, the building blocks of society, really. My goals are to only have one meeting, which is so far what's on the books, and that should be alright. And then we've got a pile of quick looks on the schedule that I am to be in or running. And then I need to carve out some time to research, to do some preliminary research on some fighting games. So that they might be ranked, perhaps in the relatively near future. Because I have not had time to do that yet this week. Otherwise, we might have gotten one in and recorded or something this week. But yeah, there's a delicate balance with selecting games for that thing, and it's I think people might not understand that and not to just, like, sit in the car and explain jokes or whatever, but there are people like, God, why don't they do, you know, CVS 2 or, you know, Mark of the Wolves or, like, I think there's a facet of that series that gets really boring if the game that's at number one is a game that might stay at number one the entire time. So it's there's a certain order that makes sense for that stuff. So yeah, sure, we can play properly. Is a game that I would that would be near the top of my personal list if there was no science involved. Science did not enter into the equation, it would be up there on mine, so at least gonna look at that one and see if it makes sense to do that one now. And then we recorded some Dangerous Golf yesterday, which that'll go up Monday. That's the new game from the first game, I guess, from Three Fields, which is primarily a group of ex-Criterion developer, Alex Ward, who's kind of the face of Burnout for a good long time. It's their new game. And that'll go up on Monday. And, you see, you can tell that the people that made that game at one point perhaps worked on a Burnout game. Let's say that. Wants a new Burnout, you say? Yeah, that would be good. I don't think EA will ever make one. I would put Burnout in the same camp that, like, probably Rival Schools is in at Capcom, if I had to guess, because I know Street Fighter was kind of in that situation at Capcom for a while, where there's kind of no one at the company to champion it and, like, force it to get made and to passionately advocate on its behalf. You know? Like Capcom couldn't get a Darkstalkers game made. You think they're going to go all the way down the rabbit hole and like, make a new Rival Schools? Like, that's... it's probably just never going to happen. So I figure Burnout is probably in that same boat at EA, where, like, you know, the people that invented the Burnout are not at Burnout, or not at EA. So it would take a weird effort, probably, on someone's behalf to just say, like, hey, we want to make a new one of these, and here's why it makes business sense, and here, like, present the whole case in a way that someone goes, oh, yeah, okay. You know, Burnout just kind of, at some point, probably joins the ranks of, you know, Desert Strike, Wing Commander, Syndicate, you know, the deep bench of intellectual property that EA maintains and will probably never touch. So yeah, I think if someone's going to make a new Burnout game, it maybe would have to be someone outside of EA who does not call it burnout. So, to that end, maybe take a look at that golf game. It's a hard thing for a lot of people to reconcile, like the why there aren't more sequels to old games and why those things go away and all that sort of stuff. You get people that just kind of like pine for a franchise or to return for a sequel to or a reboot to happen. And sometimes you get it, and then sometimes you get it and you realize it's not actually the thing you want. Even if, like, whether it's devoted or not, I think that's something Nintendo's kind of gotten into on both sides of it, you know? Like, Star Fox Zero is not too far off from other Star Fox games, but maybe seems a little less impressive after all this time has passed. Can I get in this lane yet? Yes, I can. And then you've got the other end of it with, like, well, I don't know, did people like that Kid Icarus thing for 3DS? Like, I messed with it a little bit. It was not super left-handed friendly at the time. And if I remember right, I remember it just kind of being kind of lame. But also, like, that was, you know, I think the other realization was like, oh, man, Kid Icarus, totally not that great. Original Kid Icarus, that's a game I want to go back and play, like, kind of in its entirety. Maybe just, you know, cheat my way through it or something to see it. Because I finished that game when it was, you know, fresh and new, when it was part of the Password series alongside Metroid. And at the time, I remember thinking, like, this game's pretty awesome. But, like, every time I've returned to it since, it's nonsense. It's fucking ridiculous. And also, does not play particularly great. Just had weird mechanics to it of, like, or just weird things in it, like the credit card and, getting turned into a eggplant head, dude. Getting all these fucking hammers or whatever. The structure of it, it's just a weird game. Yeah, I don't know, maybe people liked that Kid Icarus game for 3DS. I don't know, I kind of messed with it a little bit and was not super into it. But I didn't stick with it, so. NX News is interesting. I'm not too shocked by the 2017 release date, but the E3 stuff I think is weird. It's weird, but like, whatever. And I said some stuff on Twitter about, like, you know, hey, maybe this says more, or like, says some stuff about the relevance of E3 also. And then, I don't know, man, they're like weird E3 defenders are like, no, what are you even talking about? E3 is super relevant. Like, it is, or, you know, meaner stuff than that. And I don't know. It was like a couple people said some shit, and I was going to like respond and kind of engage and say like, hey, I think you're wrong and here's why. But then I kind of clicked through the person's profile and it was like them ranting about how, like saying some very like, disgusting things about Iwata that seemed, you know, hey, you know, he didn't agree with the decisions that guy made when he was running the show. It was still just like, what? So I kind of backed away from that stuff. I was like, oh, okay, maybe you're just lunatics. But yeah, I don't know. I think the notion that like E3 is the only way to get video game news out is actually like super narrow. Like really narrow-minded when you think about like versus Nintendo Direct or something like that. Like it's all kind of reaching, it's all of that stuff is preaching to the choir. The notion that like E3 somehow reaches casual video game players is silly. The only reason news at E3 reaches out to casual people is because it's big news and it would reach people either way. You know, the reason Nintendo got the word out about its stuff was because, you know, they cut a deal with USA Today to give them the exclusive on the new console, and that would run the morning of their press conference, you know? And that's how that news gets out, and that can happen anytime. That doesn't have to be tied to E3 at all. It's not like it's part of some, you know, USA Today wasn't running some, like, special E3 section. I was like, no, here's news on Nintendo's new thing. And if Nintendo wanted to get news out to the mainstream, they could do that, and it would get picked up, and it would get carried around the way that it needs to. Also, it's them announcing a console, not them shipping a console. The number of people that need to know about a console the minute it's announced is actually quite low. And anyone who does need to know cares enough about this shit to be glued to the internet and, like, clued into everything that's going on anyway. So the notion that, like, that Nintendo needs more than just, like, a Nintendo Direct around E3 time or whatever to speak to that audience is, pretty misguided, I think. And I say that as someone who likes E3. Like, you know, I'm certainly not over here going like, oh, E3's dead, fuck E3. You know, it's like, no, it's just E3 is changing again. And or also, I think we're at a point where E3 needs to prove, make its case again. Like, E3 needs to make some adjustments. The ESA, or, you know, needs to figure some things out about what that show is and who it speaks to and why, and they need to make that case to the industry about why they need to go spend a bunch of money on booth space and all this other stuff to reach who exactly, because all those publishers can reach the press on their own. They don't need E3 to do that, because they can put out the stuff. You know, a company like EA pulling out of E3, you know, hey, guess what, they're putting on their own event right before E3. And all of the same information will get out. They don't need to have a huge booth space with, like, some people lining up to play any one of those games for 10 minutes each. You know? Like, I don't need to make an appointment to go play 15 minutes of Need for Speed for EA to have a successful E3. So, you know, I look at that and it makes sense. Like, EA is another company that has built its own pipeline for distributing information through its YouTube channel and, you know, like, Origin to some extent. And just its other means of marketing. Marketing to, you know, like, paying YouTube people to play their games, which they've done in the past. You know, they've got other options at their disposal that are probably, if you broke it all down, are more effective investments. A higher ROI, if you will, than E3. What does it say about shows like PAX? Does that technically make conventions in general irrelevant as, and then it get your text gets cut off, because this app is real good. I think PAX is a different thing. Like, PAX is community-focused, and there are panels and concerts and merchandise and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, it's like Sony and Microsoft have their presence at PAX, and Nintendo has something somewhere, too. If you want to go through that rigmarole and, like, hey, I'm going to wait in line so that I can play this Gears of War beta that is already out, and I could just play it at home. Or whatever. But I think shows like PAX are crucial for exposure for smaller games. You know, games from companies that don't have their own lane carved out, that don't have the marketing budget to, like, break through the just general noise of the internet and game news and all that stuff, the way EA would, the way Microsoft does, and that sort of stuff. You know, companies that are getting a little 10x10 booth space and setting up a, you know, going to Costco and buying a TV the day before the show starts, and returning the TV at the end of the show, and, you know, because they don't have the money to buy the TV, and, you know, like those sorts of situations. I think those are the games that are best suited for something like a PAX. And they're usually the most interesting, you know. The major publishers and stuff at PAX are paying a lot of money. Well, not, I mean, you know, less than they pay for E3 booth space or whatever. But, you know, they're paying money to run panels. You know, the panels that are commercial in nature are usually sponsored panels. Or the panels that are promotional in nature. So when some publisher comes and says, we're going to do a panel about the graphics of our upcoming video game, like, that's PAX getting money to do that, you know? So they can reach people that way without, you know, having to get booth space on the floor or stuff like that if they want, but, like, I don't know. There are tons of different ways to reach people that don't involve E3, I guess is my point. And I think that applies to companies of all sizes. So I think if in the face of companies kind of giving up their booth space and you know, maybe getting away from E3 a little bit, I think, you know, the people in charge of E3 need to sit down and look at that show and look at the needs of that business and go, like, okay, well, what do we do to this show to make sure it meets those needs so that those companies definitely want to be here and do stuff. You know, if they want E3 to continue to thrive, it has to continue to evolve, too. Because the internet is far more effective at just spreading information than having a booth at a show attended by, you know, the industry, press, retail, all that other stuff, and especially in cases where there are more effective and probably cheaper ways to reach that retail audience and to reach the press. So, you know, it used to be that was like a show of power. Like, you had to have the biggest booth at E3 to show that, like, the company is booming, everything is great, we're awesome. And I think everyone realized, like, oh, that, like, the dick waving aspect of E3 is totally pointless. For a lot of the third parties, anyway. And, you know, the most interesting information out of E3 comes out of the press conferences, not from the show itself. So, in a lot of ways, E3 is over before the doors open, because all the press conferences have happened, and that's where all the real, like, new information is. Unless you're on site and you, like, hope to play some games, which is cool, but for the folks at home, you know, there's really not that much of a difference. E3 is great for us because everyone's in the same town at the same time, which lets us put together shows and stuff, and I like doing that a lot. Infinite Warfare is like, it's a much better name than Ghosts 2. But it's also, like, a super depressing name in like, a couple of different ways, right? I mean, whether it's sad commentary on the state of the world or sad commentary on the state of Call of Duty. It works either way as a thing to make you go, oh, so I can only hope that Infinite Warfare means that it's, like, you know, them pulling protagonists from throughout the Call of Duty universe together to fight in a deathmatch, Quake 3 style. That it's just all time travel. Or it's that fucking commercial with all the celebrities in it turned into a video game. Plus time travel. Dudes with jetpacks in World War I. You know, just fucking weird shit. They just go full sci-fi. And you're just fighting on Mars. Because I think if they call it Infinite Warfare and then kind of ground it in something more real, again, I think that just gets depressing. It's like, well, war never changes. War is forever. Hopefully the multiplayer for Modern Warfare 1 is included in that remastered thing. Because if that's just the campaign, that's a bad idea. Or, whatever, that campaign was pretty good back then, I don't know. Still, though, is you know, like, that's a cool idea, and, you know, they'll remake it and throw it in with this more expensive edition of the game, and we'll see how that comes out. But wouldn't it actually be really cool if they sat down and really, really rebuilt Modern Warfare? You know, more than just kind of sliding the upgraded graphics and engine stuff into it and sending it off, but more just like, hey, you know, let's really put the work in to represent this campaign. State-of-the-art visuals, all that sort of stuff. You know, that'd be fucking cool. Those were really good multiplayer maps. Not too far off from E3, huh? It's pretty much, 5 weeks out or something like that. 6 weeks. crazy to think that we'll be doing this all over again. I think that every year as E3 ramps up, it's like, wow, we're already doing this one more time. Okay, all right, let's go. I want to see Titanfall 2. That's, you know, when I started thinking about E3 and all that sort of stuff, I want to see that. And I don't know that I'll actually be able to, because we'll be doing press conference coverage all that day. So we'll be watching the EA stuff remotely. So we'll see whatever they show, you know, obviously. But if they have more there for people to play afterwards, I don't think that's going to happen. So we'll be too busy getting ready for Bethesda at that point. Bethesda gives a release date for Dishonored 2. Yeah, probably. I mean, what's left to say about it, right? I mean, they kind of have to at least give a tighter time frame, if not a day, then at least a quarter, month, or something later this holiday season, something along those lines. trying to think. I guess Doom will be out by the time E3 happens. So for Bethesda to do this show, like, what do they have? Battle Cry? Fallout DLC? Elder Scrolls Online update? Probably. I saw something, I think it was some kind of game ratings thing that had come out in Taiwan or something. Anyway, I saw some Twitter account, always the best source for information, but it seemed to imply that there was a Trials game in the works called Trials of the Blood Dragon. And, you know, a little picture of a motorcycle next to it to remind you that this is Trials, not some other weird thing. And the idea of them applying the Blood Dragon concepts to a Trials game is fucking perfect. That's a great, dumb thing. Watch Dogs 2, yeah, that seems like that would be a major focus of Ubisoft's showing. That and that cocaine game, Wild Blow, Tom Clancy's Wild Coke Adventure. I totally forget what the Wildlands. I want to see more of that. That was a neat looking trailer. I figure they'll probably talk about Division DLC, some kind of Division update, because that's been so popular for them. They would have some kind of new bit of news timed to E3 for that. I'll probably go heavy on Mafia 3. Battleborn will be out by then, right? That'll already be out by E3. Was it just after? I forget. I don't know what Warner would do. They've got another fighting game to announce. I mean, I guess that would make sense that those guys would have another game out next April. Justice at this point. Another Lego thing. More Lego Dimensions play sets or a sequel or whatever their upgrade path for that thing is. I'm trying to think, like, major publishers, you know, Microsoft have Gears and probably have Crackdown. Scalebound, that's a game, right? What was the other thing? Robot thing. Recore. Yes, Recore. I wonder if Microsoft will make a lot of new announcements about software, or if they're just going to kind of make good on the games they announced and then have yet to talk about since. Like, stuff like Recore, like Crackdown hasn't made any real appearances. I wonder if they'll do one of those E3s where they're like, we're focusing on games that are due out this year. If they've got hardware news to announce, that would probably make sense. Let that be the new thing, and then talk about software. has already been announced. I mean, I guess it would make sense for them to have a Forza Horizon 3 or something at this point, right? And then Sony's got their Neo news to get through. God, what do they have that's announced that's not out? Last Guardian, Horizon. Uncharted will be out. Kingdom Hearts, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there'll be some third-party stuff, obviously. I suspect, well, who knows after that fucking Sony store fucking thing, but I was going to say, I suspect we would see Call of Duty at the Sony press conference. I guess Square's got a Deus Ex game, huh? I should probably talk about that. Kojima part, yeah, yeah. Kojima is with Sony, so I bet that. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Considering that they only recently start, you know, kind of assembled a team, I can't imagine they'll have much to show. But that doesn't mean you don't at least, like, bring Kojima out and say, hey, that's, I'm working on a thing. It's only going to be able to be brought to life with the power of the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 Neo. The PS4K, whatever they end up calling that thing. No Man's Sky will be pretty much out around then, right? It's out just after E3. Skate 4, yeah. I saw an EA employee getting in on the Skate 4 as comment joke the other day. And I sat there staring at it, trying to figure out what it meant. you'd like to think that the grassroots nonsense of people shouting Skate 4 every chance they get would eventually lead to something. I mean, fuck, they eventually made a Mirror's Edge game. That seemed like the sort of thing that you looked at and you're like, I don't know if that should happen, and let alone if it will. They got that going. And it's recent, and like, Skate is still recent enough that you could see it still getting one more sequel out the door or something like that, as opposed to some of these other long-running franchises that really were only going to get off the ground as a mobile game or something like that. EA doesn't seem like the company that would ever commit to, like, hey, we're going to make a new Ultima game, but Ultima for iPad, a free-to-play Ultima game. Now you're talking. English version of Dragon Quest Builders? Yeah, I hope so. I hope that happens. That sounds kind of cool. You gotta figure that'll come over. Speaking of coming over, I briefly saw the English version of Assault Suit Lanos for PS4 at PAX. They were showing it there. It's totally coming over, which is awesome. So I bought that game in Japanese. And it's a pretty good remake of Target Earth. I did not stop to talk to them about them bringing it over with timetables or anything like that, but I did a double take and looked and said, wait, what the fuck, hang on, and then looked at the screen enough while someone was playing it to see English words pop up in the, like, cutscene box at the bottom, and was like, oh, good, okay, fucking awesome, great, and then was on my way. That was the only detail I needed. They were showing it at PAX running in English. This means something. What was my game of PAX? I didn't actually play a video game of PAX. So I don't really have a game of PAX. Oh yeah, Quiplash. I guess I technically played Quiplash. about Sega at E3? I mean, I don't know. Sega makes PC games. They'll have, like, Warhammer stuff or something. Total War Warhammer, isn't that a game? That's a game. Comcast is buying DreamWorks? What? We are. Here we go. Stuck in this tunnel. But at least I've got a drink. Is that Ratchet and Clank movie not doing well? Is that what I just saw someone say? Pepsi Ginger Cola. I have not seen it very frequently. I was, driving back from Fresno and saw it along with the other, whatever other fancy Pepsi, and didn't buy any there, thinking like, oh, well, I'll just get it. I'm not getting it here, but I'll just get it tomorrow. I'll get it somewhere else on the drive home or something like that. But I haven't seen it anywhere else since. So, well. I don't really like ginger much. I really don't like ginger ale. It's just kind of gross. Oh, is Guile coming out tonight? All right. It's about time he did. We've all known. Big stretch. Big stretch. There we go. Oh, jeez. I wonder if Super Hot will seem weird on a console since you won't have a keyboard. Not that you really did any typing, like real typing per se, but that's just the whole concept of like, here's your computer user interface thing, text-based thing. Seems weird on a console, I guess. I don't know. I bet it'll be fine. Oh, right, that Genesis thing is out. Is that today? Yeah. Let's see what that thing ends up being. I wonder if that'll just take IPS patches. How that workshop stuff will work. And what would stop someone from using an IPS patch to just replace the game with a different game? Like they do on the Retron. I guess I don't have a good mind, or I don't have a good sense of everything DreamWorks makes. Shrek is them, right? Comcast just paid $4 billion for Shrek? Just Shrek, yeah. That's all they made. DreamWorks, the Shrek people. Kung Fu Panda, Jesus Christ. Bits and pieces of Shrek I have seen over the years seem positively dire. Yeah, Medal of Honor. That was DreamWorks. That's... Like, I don't know, I barely give a fuck about Pixar, and they seem to be the ones that make the good animated movies, so I can, like, doubly not give a fuck about DreamWorks. That guy just ran a red light. That was cool. Like, just rolled right through it, just like, didn't even see it, just like, oh, I don't know. cops. Telling a man he needs to drive slower. That guy's all, I'm on a scooter. I'm riding my scooter. Almost there. Get up. If you're gonna fucking go in that lane, go in that fucking lane. Get most of the way out of my lane and then just kind of linger. Just hang out in the lane. I'm on my way. There's a crane with a pallet that is hovering over the road and lowering, 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 lowering in a way that I'm worried may hit my car, but okay. Now a man is holding onto said crane thing. All right. I'm going to go. Have a good Thursday. God, it's Thursday already. Jeez. I'll see you later.